then how many miracles happen throughout a year? Some are recognized and some are not recognized. Some are seen and some are unseen. It kind of brought me to this question of what is a miracle and how can we recognize it? And maybe even how should we acknowledge it? What should we do about it? Sometimes miracles are very pronounced, but sometimes they're subtle. As I was thinking about her story, I couldn't help but think about Philip. Philip was an apostle, a follower of Jesus. He was one of the 12 who followed him. And he saw the crucifixion and he saw the resurrection. And he was around when the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And Philip one day had something really amazing happen to him. It's not as well preached on story of the apostles as some of the things that happened to Peter and Paul, but it's one I wanted to bring forth this morning, and it's found in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40, and it goes like this. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." What is so cool? He just given instructions, and he just does it. He follows obediently. And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" Now, he had to have asked that question. I'm sure he's amazed. This guy is you know, a foreigner in the land. He's not a Jew. I mean, And eunuchs were kind of considered to be inferior class. Here he is, just basically this slave, this servant of the queen's court. And yet, he has come to Israel, so he's heard about the one true God. Somewhere in his heart, he has believed, and now he's reading the book of Isaiah. And so that's why I asked, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told them the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. He was transported miles away from where he was. Miles. In excess of 30 miles anyway. What an incredible miracle. And there's so many miracles in that story. One that God should care about, someone who's not even, you know, one of the chosen people. Two, that an angel should appear on behalf of this guy to be saved. Three, that the Spirit should prompt him to go up to the chariot for the salvation experience itself. That's the biggest miracle of all. Amen? And then for him to be carried away like that. You have to wonder, you know, when the eunuch came out of the water, did he look around and wonder where the guy went? Did he explain it away? Some people will, you know. I must have been hallucinating, or, you know, he just took off or whatever. But some will embrace the miracle. Well, did he think he was an angel? I mean, what did he think? We'll never know until we talk to him. And what did Philip think? And when Philip got to the new place, he started preaching. The scripture says in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So many people think that miracles don't happen anymore. That those are called signs, gift signs, and that they were closed with the New Testament. There's actually different Christian churches who testify that and believe that, but I'm not one of them. I have been 20 plus years in ministry, and I have heard countless and countless, countless testimonies like my sister brought forward today. And that brings me to my point. Recognizing God's voice and obeying Him is critical for a good relationship with God. Amen? It also can lead you to a miracle when you listen to that still small voice. But so often, we can dismiss the still small voice of God if we're not careful. How many times in your past have you thought of someone and they said, "Oh, I'm so glad you called me because it was on your heart." Or you visited them and they were like, "Oh, I was just wishing someone would come by. I was praying." I've had people tell me, "I was actually praying that God would send you, and here you are." I've had people tell me that. That is not a happy coincidence. I know some people would like to think it is, but it's not. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, Romans 8:14. And it is something that we should be sensitive to. When God is leading us, when He is encouraging us, especially when it matches up to Scripture. If you feel that the Lord is telling you to share the good news with someone, He probably is, and you should. Because man does not naturally long after the things of God. That's not his nature. And it lines up with the Word of God, because the Word of God says what? That we are to go into all the world and preach, right? The good news. So when you have that type of leading in your heart, in your mind, you really should pay attention to it. A miracle, I asked at the beginning, what is a miracle? A miracle is any unusual or mighty act of God that takes place in contrast to the normal events of everyday life. Now, here's one of the pushbacks on miracles. And I get it. I understand. Because what if you're the person who didn't get the miracle? And there are lots of people in this world who pray for a miracle, who pray for God to intercede, and it doesn't happen. Am I right? I don't think that God doesn't love those people. It's not always a sin issue. I know some folks like to say that too. And it's really hard to accept the idea that sometimes God says no. Am I right? So you think, where's my miracle? Why is it not happening? I want to share something with you. And at first I might confuse you when I read it, but let me finish up with it. Matthew 12, 38 through 41 is a great illustration of when God was asked for a miracle and they were told no. Verse 38 says, "Then some of the scribes and the Pharisees answered him, saying, 'Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you.'" Now, why were they asking for a sign? They were asking so that they could believe. They were basically testing him. So right here, we know this is kind of a wrong motive. And sometimes we do ask with wrong motives, but sometimes we don't. Sometimes we ask out of genuine love for a family member or friend. But in this case, it's a wrong motive. Verse 39 says, "But he answered them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign. But no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah.'" Hold it. Go, hold back right there a second. Verse 39. I find that just so incredible. I love this. I love this passage right here, because let me share what just leaped off at me. He starts out by saying, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but nothing's going to be given to you." But then he says, "Except this one." No, not yet. It's going to happen, though. He says, "But this one sign will be given to you." And I thought, wow. Are they asking for a sign? And he says no, but yet he's saying yes. He's saying that I'm going to give you a sign. And the sign will be of the prophet Jonah. Now, verse 40. "For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." So he's talking about his upcoming crucifixion and burial. And so he's saying that he will be in the ground. This is the sign. Just as he was in the belly of a fish, basically thought to be dead, because if you're swallowed up by something, pretty much, you know, if an animal eats you, do you not think that they're probably long gone? Well, he's a goner, you know? So just as that it was believed that he was dead, so you will think that I am dead. But what happened to Jonah? He came out of the great fish. And so did Jesus come out of the grave. And that's the miracle of miracles, am I right? And that miracle is given to the whole world if they will only recognize it for what it is. Then in verse 41 he says, "The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah." You know, they probably didn't even know about the well, but he came in and preached what God had told him to preach, and they repented. "And behold, something greater than Jonah is here." Is that not amazing? We have to understand that God performs miracles once in a while. That's why they're miracles. If they happened all the time, they wouldn't be a miracle. Am I right? I want you to wrap your mind around something. Wrap your mind around this. Jesus did not heal everybody. When he was in a town, not everyone got healed. While he was on the earth, not everyone experienced a miracle. Why? Why were some healed and some weren't? Why did some walk and some stayed blind? We have to understand that God performs miracles once in a while so that we can come to know the truth of who He is and trust Him to take care of us. And that means that we should not begrudge the person who got the miracle. We should be happy for them and rejoice in them that they had that opportunity to be blessed. But we have to understand that sometimes it doesn't happen. And it's not because of our wickedness. It's not because we had a wrong motive. It's just that it wasn't meant to be at this time. And I know that's hard. I look back in my past, and there's been times in my life when I've asked God to rescue me from something. Whether it had been an illness or it had been just a struggle, a trial, or a financial strain. I didn't always get a yes, yet I can also cite times of incredible miracles, times when God moved literally a car for me. And I look back on those times when God said no, and I realize that they were a miracle. Because it was during those times that He revealed His greatest love for me. His desire for me to learn to walk by faith, to learn to trust, to learn what I needed to learn, to become what I needed to become, I had to go through those trials. There are times when it is about soul development, and soul development is never easy. I know most students cry and whine and moan and groan when they have to do a test. Teachers, can I get an amen? And we will too. He does perform them once in a while, though, so that we will know and trust Him to take care of us. I look at this, and I thought to myself, so how do we do this? And I think the most important thing for receiving, you know, God's blessings in the shape of a miracle is, first of all, we have to learn to listen. We have to learn to listen. Listen to that voice. Listen to the leading. So often we dismiss it. Can I get an amen? We do, don't we? We dismiss the Lord's speaking into us. And I'm going to tell you what. If you're hearing a voice that's telling you to do something wrong, you can dismiss that. But if you're hearing a voice that is prompting you, that is encouraging you to do something good, or if it's so strong and it's in the middle of the night that it's out of the, you know, boundaries of normal, then you may need to listen to that voice. So you have to learn to listen. And you know what? You might make some mistakes. So what? You got up in the middle of the night and you went to somebody's house and they were perfectly fine and everything was okay. You were obedient and you're trying to learn. And as God sees that, He will speak to you more. Second, distinguish the extraordinary. When you're going to recognize a miracle, you got to distinguish it. I have had family members who it was an obvious miracle and said, oh, it was just a coincidence. I got some nods on that. So y'all have experienced that too. They just explain it away. We should recognize the extraordinary. And if they want to explain it away, that's fine. But you give God glory and you recognize the extraordinary. Don't so quickly dismiss things. Because God is in the little stuff as well as the big stuff. And it's okay to give him praise and thanks in the little stuff. Okay? So, the lame person doesn't walk. But all of a sudden, a nervous tick in their eye stops. You know what? Give God glory for that. Thank him for that blessing. Do you see what I'm saying? Acknowledge the little stuff that he's doing in your life. And that brings me to three. You have to look for God in action. Look for him. Look for what he's doing. If you see God working, definitely join him. But look for what he is doing. Start to acknowledge him in all ways and in all things. Start to give him glory. I tell you what, he is a mighty God we serve. So those are my three suggestions of how you can begin to recognize miracles and what you can do about it. There are so many miracles that happened this past year. So many of you testified. There will be more in the new year. Let us, with eager expectation, be ready to see what our God is going to do and praise him for it. Shall we pray?